Blog Talk Radio.
It was push and shove in the bush with a glove. It was soaked and snug, then the jig was up. The spell wore off, so I had to diss her. Made an amateur flick with the evil stepsister.
Now the party didn't start till I walked in, and I probably won't leave before the thing ends. But in the meantime, the in-between time, you go for yours, I'll go for mine.
Party to party, I manage, cause I travel with no baggage. Unless you count a nagging, in that case I'm dragging. Otherwise, I strive to be forever wise. Lies I stay deaf to, but my eyes hear the silent cries. Deranged train to take out plain tongue poets. Those who double over moaning, pain is appropriate. No longer wait for the fake to make me known. Started off drunk and once ended up sad alone. Little did you realize I don't wanna get hired. Tired, out of touch, use my couch as a crutch. Much mini mall is murder, try truck stop, lifestyle. Pile off predictions, apocalyptic visions, ain't it splendid? Your whole life seems pretended. The world spins thin when you're raised by the television. A tip, get a tab, get a condom over casket. Just taking all the pleasure that I'm faking. Aching for schmo, bouncing my banknotes. Blatantly gross, chap lips and canker sword, tails, pots and pans, and a bottle on the kitchen floor. Hand the wooden spoon to the toddler and press
before. Now the party didn't start till I walked in, and I probably won't leave before the thing ends. But in the meantime, the in-between time, you go for yours, I'll go for mine.
A poem, a record's just a record. A kiss is just a kiss when the sex is misdirected. We're so far from love, it's so close to hell. Thought you couldn't catch up, but you were chasing your tail. I try to freshen it up, but it's old and stale. I teach a lesson in love when you're born to fail. Hum on these scavengers, unsack passenger. Unplug your life support and disconnect your catheter. I know you wear depends, undergarments. It's not pretend, your girl vibing on it. At the champagne brunch, French toast, eggs, Benedict, or Garcia Vegas. Top shelf margaritas, I feed you pinballs to you in Pipe Club. Get your fingers out my catalog, style sour eggnog. Please keep perusing my inventory before you cruise singing blues in the mortuary. I leave thoughts on the windshield like John Davis getting justice to the butt naked barrel chick. I dip thug with, sniff those sweat. My whole kid is so buff to me. Info mercy for my lyrical cutlery.
Now the party didn't start till I walked in, and I probably won't leave before the thing ends. But in the meantime, the in-between time, you go for yours, I'll go for mine.
Hello, all you freaks out there. This is Ryan.
And this is Angie.
And for the final time on a Monday night, we are getting freaky. It's the end of an era, guys. It's the end of something that's been going on for.
We're upgrading. Time for something new and better.
They're moving. We got our moving van all packed up. Boxes are all taped up. And we're taking our happy asses to Tuesday nights.
We're going to get We're gonna show Tuesday. We're getting freaky.
Yeah, we're gonna make Tuesdays freaky again. So we figured, you know, why not end this end our streak with a bang? We've got Lost Souls in the Shadows Paranormal coming on the show with us. And there's RJ in the background. He's letting us know how he feels about everything. So a little backstory. I had originally I put Lost Souls as Lost Souls Paranormal as our. Apparently, I was wrong about that, and I used their logo, and they called me out on it.
They were a little upset.
They were upset. I did not ask them to be on the show. I asked somebody else, Lost Souls Paranormal, Lost Souls in the Shadows, to be on the show. So, but I did offer them, an olive branch. I said, hey, if you want to come on the show.
And I said, no, thank you.
And they never responded, so, you know, I'm trying to give these people some props here. Give them some publicity, you know. So if they want to come on the show, I'd be more than happy to have them on. But tonight we've got Lost Souls in the Shadows Paranormal. Actually,
which is awesome.
Travis and Tiffany Cook are also members of the Vibe Radio Network. They've had a few shows on here. Hopefully they'll be able to continue their shows here pretty soon. I know they had some really interesting shows last year. So hopefully, like I said, they'll be able to come back and do their show again here soon. I like to talk about the event we had at the cabin last weekend.
I heard it was fabulous.
It was a lot of fun. A lot of cool people showed up, and it was to raise awareness for the MS Society, Multiple Sclerosis. I swear, I sound like a drunk person when I say that.
Yeah, I think everybody does.
Multiple Sclerosis. But March is MS Month, so we had a nice group of people come out to the cabin and show support for, you know, fighting such a terrible disease. And plus, we had a buttload of activity. If you're in the Richmond area and you want to come out, investigate someplace that's not too expensive. We only charged $140 during the week and $200 on the weekend or something like that. You know, there's a Civil War battlefield. You'll be able to investigate Civil War battlefield. There are two structures. You can investigate one. A murder took place in one of the structures and a rape. And it's just a lot of dark history. On the land, and pretty much every person who has been there has had some kind of activity. And I'm not just saying that. Pretty much, it's just, you know, it's a lot of fun. It's a great place. And like I said, if you're in the town, if you want to come up to our events, they're not too expensive. I think our next one is going to be an overnighter, and that's like $40. But again, you get the cabin, the brick house, and the woods, depending on the weather, I guess, all night long. So I'm gonna go ahead and put our guest on. I have nothing else really to talk about as far as like events coming up. Hold that thought. I don't have anything. I don't have like a list of things to talk about, so I'm really going off the top of my head. So if I skip around a bit, I apologize. We had an event on the 28th. That's the overnighter. Then on the 18th, we have an investigation to raise money to buy flag markers for Evergreen Cemetery. So the event on the 28th is to buy flags for Evergreen Cemetery. And the event on the 18th is to buy the markers to put the flags in at Evergreen Cemetery. And then on May 23rd, we are actually placing the flags at Evergreen Cemetery, which is an abandoned African-American cemetery. For Memorial Day, we're going to honor the veterans buried out there. And then on May 31st, I think we have an event. I think it's Pamplin Park. We'll be spending the night out at Pamplin Park. And Pamplin Park is a Civil War battlefield in Petersburg. It's a lot of cool stuff coming up here in the next few months. And like I said, if you're in the area, you want to come hang out with us.
Even if you're not in the area, come to the area.
Yeah, just make a trip. You know, shoot, spring break's on its way. You could have a spring break vacation and come to the cabin on 360 and spend the night out here with us. I mean, you can't beat that. That's like the best vacation ever. Ever. So, got all the housekeeping out of the way, all the events coming up that we have coming up anyways out of the way. There are a ton of events in Virginia. And if I sit or try to list them all, it'll be 45 minutes worth of me talking about events. So I'm just going to go check out Virginia Paranormal Events on Facebook, and they'll have all the events in the area for you guys to take a look at. So anyways, Lost Souls in the Shadows. That's who we have on the show tonight. So I'm going to go ahead and put them on the show right now.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm good. Sorry, I had to get through all the advertisements and all the stuff so we can just talk to you the whole rest of the show and not have to cut you off to talk about stuff that, you know, housekeeping stuff. Get the business out the way first, you know what I mean?
Right. I hear you.
So how's everything going in your neck of the woods?
Cold and rainy. It was 64 yesterday, and today was 41 and rain all day.
That's quite the contrast there.
I just can't wait for this shit to be over.
Man, it was sunny and 70 here, so I'll try not to rub it in.
Must be nice.
Well, we didn't have much of a winter here. It was pretty mild.
I mean, being from Wisconsin, I mean, usually we get hammered with snow, and I think we only had, I think, 3 major snowstorms here this year. That was it.
Yeah, well, like I said, we didn't get anything. We usually get at least one. Our first and only snow we had was in November, and I was thinking, man, this is, you know, it's already snowing in November. Crap, it's going to be like a crazy winter, but no.
There was no snow days.
There was nothing.
Cool.
That was my daughter talking about snow days in the background. She says it got over.
They didn't
yet.
Have none here this year at all, and they usually they have, you know, 4 or 5 a year here. Never had one this year in Wisconsin.
So what part of Wisconsin are you from?
Little town called Orfordville, about 40 minutes straight south of Madison, and its population about 1,600. Cow country, USA.
Yeah. Wisconsin's a dairy state, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Are you a big Packers fan?
Die hard.
Oh, man, my family's from Michigan. So we got a little bit of a rivalry going with you guys.
Michigan, does Michigan even have a professional football team anymore?
Oh, you're so funny. Oh, my God. You are so funny.
I like this guy.
Yeah, no. I mean, and lately, no, they have not had much of a football team. Of course, I'm from around here. I like the Redskins, so I am not going to talk smack about anything. I try to hang my head and kind of, you know, keep quiet about
right.
it. I don't talk smack because it always ends up biting me in the ass.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, well, at least I'm not Michigan football now. I gotta give props to them. Although, last thing to say,
oh,
Wisconsin,
definitely.
They got their asses handed to them.
We do every year against Ohio State.
Yeah, I don't like Ohio State.
I don't like them either.
That's one thing we have in common. We don't like Ohio State. So how did you, I want to go start at the very beginning of, like, your paranormal experience. First, who am I talking to, Rich or Travis? I don't even know who I'm talking
to. This
is
Travis.
Okay. So, yeah, you're part – okay. All right. It's cool to actually talk to you. On the phone and not, like, on the computer.
Right. No, Rich came down with the flu. He's sicker than hell upstairs. I don't want him nowhere near around me. And my wife will be downstairs in probably 10 minutes. She had to go put our 5-year-old daughter to sleep.
Oh, that's fine. We can hang out just us guys for a little bit.
Definitely. It's the best way to go.
Hell yeah, man. So how did you get started into the paranormal? Were you always into it as a kid, or did you just kind of grow into it?
It was probably 15, 16 years ago. I was sitting in my mom's house watching TV, and out of nowhere, I had this urge to look out into the kitchen, and I looked out, and it was a full-bodied apparition of my grandfather who died 20 years before that. I mean, he was as clear as would be me and you sitting down at the table talking to each other.
Oh, wow.
Just as clear as he could be, and as quick as he was there, he was gone. After I seen that, I was like, I have to get answers now. I mean, it intrigued me, you know, just I had to get answers to know what's, you know, that there's life after death. And I know there is. But that's what got me started in the paranormal, seeing that full body apparition of my grandfather.
So when you saw it, was it scared, or was more like, what the hell? What the hell am I looking at, type of thing?
It kind of caught me off guard. You know, I mean, I had to do a double take quick, but, you know, he wasn't there for maybe two and a half seconds is all. But I didn't feel, I felt at calm. I felt peace. I felt happiness. I didn't feel nothing malevolent or evil coming from him, nothing like that. Yeah, I think he was just there letting me know, like, hey, I'm here, I'm okay, you know, everything will be fine.
Yeah, I've never seen a full-body apparition. I might have seen one out the corner of my eye, which I think I might have been, but as far as full-on, like right in front of me, I've never seen one. I'm pretty sure my first reaction wouldn't be scared. It'd be more like, what am I looking at type of deal. Because my mind will be able to process it until, like, after it actually happens.
Yeah, because for probably, I don't know, a week or so after that, I kept second-guessing myself, and finally I brought it up to my mom, which was her dad, and I said, Mom, I just want to let you know that I seen Grandpa. And she's like, oh, really? I said, yeah. She's like, I've seen him before, too.
So she saw him too.
Yep. My mom has seen him before too. Yep. You don't.
I think
it's what's that, Ryan?
No, go ahead. You go ahead. You finish your thought. I'll tell you mine. Go ahead.
Oh, and just little things happen on my mom's house still to this day. You know, like some of the things that my mom inherited from me. My grandpa was huge in the knickknacks and antiques and stuff, and she has a china cabinet that came from his house that has all those little knickknacks and figurines in it and stuff. And, you know, certain times there'll be some that'll be completely turned around, and she'll turn them back. A couple days later, they'll be turned back around again.
I think it's interesting how loved ones come back and let you know. That they're okay. After my grandfather died, I was dealing with it, but it was kind of rough. And I had a dream about it. It was clear, clear as day. You know, it felt like it was real. And I was at a picnic, and he shows up at the picnic, and he looks at me. I remember it like it was yesterday. Most of the time you don't really remember your dreams, but this one, for some reason, stuck with me. And it was like, I looked at him, I'm like, why are you here? He's like, why wouldn't I be here? I'm like, because you died. You're dead. And like, he's like, no, I'm not. I'm fine. I'm like, yeah, I was pallbearer in your funeral. He's like, no, I'm good. And it gave me a sense of peace knowing. I know he was, you know, I know what he was trying to do, trying to let me know that he was okay, that he was where he was supposed to be. And I think probably it's what your grandfather was letting you know. Of course, he knew if back then, if he had come to me back to me as a ghost, I would have run out the door screaming like a little girl. because you know I had made no bones about it. The parent almost scared the crap out of me when I was a kid. So he knew if he had come back as a ghost, you know, it would not have had the same effect, you know, as he would want it to have.
Right. I finally got my wife down here with me now.
Hey, Tiffany.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Sorry, rambling about my grandfather. Talking to Travis about how he got started in the paranormal. So I'll ask you the same question.
How did I get started? So when I was in high school, many, many moons ago, I was at a birthday party with some friends, and they had decided they wanted to play with a Ouija board. And so I kind of just sat back in the sidelines and watched. And they had whatever they were talking to had a message for me to tell me that that I was going to die. And so I was kind of freaked out by that. And I thought, okay, well, whatever. I didn't do anything, so I'd be fine. Well, the next morning, my stepmom called to let me know that I needed to walk home. And so on my way home, I was almost hit by a car. And that kind of like sparked my interest, but freaked me out at the same time. And so since then, I've been really interested in like the paranormal and trying to get answers and explanations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where it started from for me.
Wow. That's quite an ominous warning. So were you like being extra careful the next day when you were walking home because you got that message?
Yeah. Yeah, I was.
So it wasn't a bad thing. It was more of a warning. So it was more of a friendly spirit, maybe trying to warn you, hey, you better be careful tomorrow.
Yeah. I didn't even think twice about it until I had gotten home and called one of my friends and we were talking about it.
Jeez. So, how'd you guys like start Lost Souls Paranormal, Lost Souls in the Shadows?
Well, I've been investigating for 12, 13 years. A lot of majority has been on my own, going into places and stuff. And I've always wanted to have my own team. And April of this year, it'll be our 1 year anniversary when we started Lost Souls in the Shadows. My upstairs neighbor, Rich, who was also the co-founder of the team, he's always been a big skeptic. You know, that mm-hmm. there has to be a reasoning for this, a reasoning for that. Well, I took him to this one place we call the tunnel, which is, my wife can vouch for that. There's something not right out at that place.
No.
And so we took him out there. And we caught EVPs on our digital recorder saying, run, help. We heard growls out there. We've seen yellow glowing eyes staring at us. And that instantly made him no longer a skeptic. He was a full-fledged believer. We got back to the house that night, and he was like, dude, we need to start our own team. I said, you know how much money that costs, all that equipment? He's like, yeah, but we need to start a team. So I gave it some thought and everything and ran it over with my wife and everything. And she's like, well, figure out a name. Let's get it going. You guys are, you know, my wife told me, you know, I've always been infatuated with the paranormal. And she's like, oh, if you guys really want to do it, I'll stand behind you 100%. You know, let's get a name picked and let's start getting equipment together. And this April 6th, it'll be a year for us.
How'd you come up with Lost Souls in the Shadows?
I look at it, most spirits are lost souls. And mm-hmm. you usually find them hiding in the shadows. You know, shadow figures, lost souls, and we put the two together. You know, we're searching for the lost souls that are in the shadows, hiding.
Well, there you go. What What's been your favorite location you've investigated so far?
It'd have to be either the tunnel or a place in the town next over where I used to be the head chef at a place called Fibs North. It's a supper club.
Mm-hmm.
Fibs North.
So
is,
what?
What's that, Ryan?
I was going to say, so what happened there?
Fibs North is built in, what is it, 1863? I think, Tiff.
Somewhere about.
Built in 1863. It was a saloon. It was a brothel. It was a hotel back in the cowboy days. Well, then, you know, after the cowboy days, you know, are things of the past now. It's been numerous restaurants here, like 16, 17 years ago, they wanted to remodel the whole upstairs to take it back to its glory days and start renting it out, you know, the hotel and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the construction workers were in there, and there was a closet that had a false bottom in it. They pulled the false bottom. There was a human skeleton in there.
Jesus.
Yeah. Go ahead, Tiff.
I was just going to mention, too, the seance that we had been to there when we caught the EVP.
Yeah, we were actually there doing a seance with the owner, me, my wife, my mom, and a psychic medium friend of ours. And my wife's phone was in her pocket the whole time, Ryan. We got home,
uh-huh.
And her phone alerted her. What did it say? Recording? Yeah, it said new voice recording. And so we played it, and you can hear me in the psychic medium talking. And about roughly 20 seconds in, you hear a little girl's voice saying, "Release me." Clear as day.
Release me?
Release me.
Which,
wow.
Yeah, which later that evening, the psychic medium, she ended up crossing her over. And come to find out, the little girl's name was Sarah.
She was being held there by...
She was being held there by... Another spirit named John, who was actually, he was hung in that building. He was arrested and convicted and hung for child molestation back in early 1900s. And he absolutely hates men with a passion. Anytime I go there, it's like I got to chase him down. It's like he does not want to confront me. And like, you know, if it's females... Females usually will get pushed or scratched, but males, he will actually physically make you sick if you're a male going in there and looking for him. There's he also used to be the Knights of Pythians, one of their meeting spots. There's a huge tile triangle up in the ceiling of the grand ballroom that says Knights of Pythians on it, and there was, there's been devil worship in there. There's been seances there. It's a dark place.
Interesting.
So it sounds like a hodgepodge
yeah.
of just a whole bunch of different activity over there.
Yeah.
That's how far from where you live?
About 7 minutes.
Damn. There's some, man. The Midwest has got some pretty freaky places. There must, you know, must not be much to do out there in the, like, because I mean, I got the Valesco Axe Murder House. That's in Iowa. And, man, some
yep.
crazy places out in the Midwest.
Yeah,
that's what happens when it gets cold.
The freakiest place we've ever been though is, like I said a little bit ago, the tunnel. That was built in 1843. Built as a railroad, an old steam locomotive railroad connecting Freeport, Illinois to Madison, Wisconsin. Well,
mm-hmm.
it was built by slaves, and a lot of them died from mishandling of the dynamite there, blowing through the big limestone mountain. When they blow themselves up, they would not have a funeral for them. They buried them in the walls of the tunnel.
What, the workers?
Yep.
Oh, I can see why that would be a might have a little bit of activity attached to it. How long is the tunnel?
About half a mile long.
So is it, it's not still in use, is it?
No, it's now the state bike trail.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we like that too. A lot of like old railroad tracks around here have been turned into bike trails.
Yep.
So how'd you hear about it? Did you just go explore it and figure out, you know, or did someone tell you about it?
A friend of mine used to go hiking all the time. I don't know, it was like 3-4 years ago, I seen his post on Facebook about pictures he took in this tunnel and everything, and I could not remember the name of it. So I started Google searching, you know, it's called the Badger State Bike Trail. And I know it's over by Belleville, Wisconsin, that I know. So I started Googling tunnels, Badger State Bike Trail, Belleville, Wisconsin. And it came up, Stewart Tunnel is the name of it.
So when you first went out there, what was like the first EVP you caught?
The first EVP, the first evidence we caught was the voice on my phone saying run.
That's an ominous catch right there. Of course, they may be thinking there's a train coming, you know, too. If they don't realize that it's not in use anymore, they'd be like, hey, there's a train coming. You might want to get out the way.
Right. Well, the weird thing you mentioned, train, is that night we left out there, the nearest big town that has railroad tracks is Monroe, which is probably 30 miles from there. We were walking down the trail out of the tunnel, and we actually heard a train whistle. Clear as day. And all three of us stopped, and we looked at each other, and at the same time, we all said, did you hear that? And we're like, yeah. And I know there's no way in hell that a train whistle is going to carry 30 miles from the nearest town.
That'd be some one hell of a train whistle.
Yeah.
Your ears would bleed if you were anywhere close to that shit. That's for sure.
Yep.
Man.
But, I mean, a lot of people don't go out there because it's been known for years and years they have paranormal activity. We were actually supposed to go out there right around Halloween with a news station here in town. Up in Madison, Channel 27 News, they ended up backing out. Don't know why. I just got an email saying that they had to rescind their invitation to go to Stewart Tunnel.
So people just can't handle it.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it takes a special kind of person to deal with, you know, to go out actually paranormal investigating.
Yes, it does. So do you remember, like, when you your first, like, real, besides, you know, your grandfather and the Ouija board, do you remember your first, like piece of evidence you caught while you were investigating for the first time?
Oh, my first one. That would have had to been, I want to say, there was an old farmhouse outside of Broadhead where I grew up at. That's no longer there. And there was, you know, urban legend going around that the guy killed his whole family in there, then killed himself. You know, your typical urban legend stuff. Well,
yeah.
Me and a friend of mine were in the house, and we asked, you know, if anybody's here, can you make a noise or move something or touch one of us? Then all of a sudden, it's like the whole floor just shook in that house, like a bomb went off in the basement. And he looks at me and, you know, I was new into the paranormal. I didn't know what I was getting into. We got the hell up out of there. Never went back to that house.
Mm-hmm.
And probably a year after that, they tore it down. They used it for a fire department training.
I can see that would definitely leave an impression on me because, you don't know what that was. I mean, wow. Do you have any ideas what that could have been?
Not a clue, because there was nothing left in that house. All it was is just the studs and the floors.
You know, that's
like the
funny.
Whole house is
a lot of people. A lot of people at the cabin have had the same kind of experience where they hear this boom and the whole house shakes, and they're like, "I have no idea what it was." I can't explain it either, but we've had teams, you know, call myself or Dennis and like, "Hey, the house is shaking. Sounds like someone." Actually, one group, these two girls spent the night at the cabin, called the police because they're like, they were scared. They're like, I don't know what to do. So they called the cops. I'm like, well, call us. Don't call the police. But yeah, that was a whole other like incident. But so yeah, I don't know if it's something, you know, obviously something paranormal, but I don't know what the meaning of it is, you know.
Right.
But it's funny how it happened to you. It also happened over here at the cabin too.
Yeah, I mean it was like just like a bomb went off in that basement and just shook the whole floor we were standing on.
Mm-hmm.
I've never experienced anything like that since.
It'd be interesting to see, like, talk to other places and see, like, you know, if it's happened other places as well, you know?
Definitely, yeah. Yeah,
so
I mean,
you
we've
guys...
never experienced that. We've never experienced that at Phibbs. The only real noises we've heard at Phibbs is Spurs walking across the barroom floor.
That's awesome. That is super cool. Do you guys do like residential cases as well, or do you concentrate mostly on like historical buildings?
We actually have a residential one in the working. A friend of mine who lives about 45 minutes from here, he wants us to go up and investigate his house. Still waiting to hear back from him. We're, you know, still trying to get all the dates together so everything will work out. It's probably not going to be till probably early summer because we actually have a live public ghost hunt coming up. So,
well, tell me about your live public ghost hunt. You gotta want to hear more about that.
It's at it's actually where I went to school at. It's called Broadhead Manor now, but back then it was Broadhead Middle School. It's like 80,000 square feet, three stories. I mean, it's massive. I mean, when I went to school there, you know, I seen shadow figures run back and forth, you know, across the stage, being performances going on, basketball games. I mean, I seen shadows dart back and forth, back and forth. It's now actually bought by a gentleman, and during October he runs it as a haunted house. Well, it's a haunted house, but it's also a truly haunted building. We've done investigations there before. From what we've caught there, there's nothing malevolent or evil. It seems to be, wouldn't you say, children's spirits?
Children. Yeah.
When we were there, my wife actually, what'd you hear? By the cafeteria?
Like singing, like a kind of like a like a cappella singing, like just a woman humming, and it was weird.
It was actually built on an Indian burial ground.
That's the school was. Success right there.
What's that, Ryan?
I say, you know, it's going to be a good activity when you start off saying it's built on the Indian burial ground. That's it. Like, that's it. Okay. Might as well close the place down now and start investigating it because, you know, it's going to be activity there.
Yep. Yeah. The live ghost hunt, it's Saturday, March 21st. We're having three different hunt times. We're doing a 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. for $25 a person. Then we're doing a 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. for $35 a person. Then we're doing a 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. for $40 a person. There's two different, if you want two of the time slots, it's 60 a person, or you can get all three time slots for 80 bucks a person.
We'll be talking about the equipment we use.
We'll be talking about the equipment we use. And
there'd be food.
Food.
Beverages and whatnot.
80 bucks isn't bad.
Lunches.
You know.
You know, and I've read messages, you know, people say, well, it's kind of expensive, ain't it? Have you ever tried going on Tennessee Wraith Chasers? Them guys want like 200 bucks a ticket.
Yeah, it's a lot of places, which I understand that they want to raise money for their locations and stuff, but some of the prices are a little bit, you know, astronomical.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is, if you investigate, let's say, Moundsville, and you spend like $200 for a ticket to get in there, and you only get like one or two EVPs, and you can investigate someplace like where you're going, spend 80 bucks, get the same amount of evidence as you would at bigger places, and not spend an arm and a leg to get that piece of evidence. You know,
definitely.
I think people pay for the experience of going to like Waverly Hills or Moundsville, but there are a lot of places like the cabin or the school that you can do during your investigation at places that haven't been necessarily, you know, in the public square, have a lot to offer as far as paranormal evidence is concerned.
Right. You know, and a lot of these people don't realize either, you know, like Eastern State Penitentiary, Moundsville, you know, Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, you know, they don't realize, you know, these people that put on these hunts, you know, do it every single weekend there. Well, sooner or later,
mm-hmm.
spirits are going to run out of energy and they're going to be like, you know what, we're done communicating.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I went to an investigation at St. Albans, and I love St. Albans, but it was dead. It was just not a very good night, and they're like, man, you should have been here last night. Last night, there were people, you know, being smacked and stuff was throwing off the walls, and like everything you could think of was happening the night before. Next day,
right.
It was dead. So, you know,
yeah,
I mean, I'm
like
not trying to knock these places.
Right.
You know.
It's like we went to Ashmore Estates for a 15-hour overnight Halloween investigation, Halloween of last year. The team went down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't get a whole lot of evidence there, did we, Tiff?
No. Some pictures, a few touches, items moving.
No, but everybody thinks, no, because, you know, some of the, you know, a lot of places have been on TV being so extremely haunted. They think when you walk in, you're going to get activity nonstop. Well, it don't work like that in the paranormal world.
No.
Yeah, you're on their time.
Yeah. If I was to go on someplace like that, I would have to lower my expectations. So if I had a lot of money to go to a place I'd want, I'd expect there to be a lot more stuff. So, I think I would just go for the experience of going to the place, but I wouldn't really worry too much about evidence, you know, because I'd just be disappointed, I think, in what I captured. Cause
right.
It couldn't compare to the stuff I've captured at the cabin for free, you know,
right.
Or captured around here for a lot less money, you know. And if I, let's say we captured a great EVP, you say you guys captured a great EVP at Ashmore Estates, that's good for you, and it's great evidence, but it's not any better than the next team that comes in and captures a great EVP. It's all personal stuff. It's for your team. It's not for, you know, anybody else but you, you know?
Right. I agree.
But it's fun. That's the whole point of going out. You're going out to investigate. You're going out to, you know, even if you don't get evidence, it's still camaraderie. It's still an experience. And that's what I think people are looking for. even if it's not a paranormal experience, it's life experience, you know?
Yeah, because, you know, we're in it for, the team is in it for the science of it, to prove or debunk something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why we're into the paranormal, investigating.
Yeah, I mean, that's I think everyone's into it for that reason, you know, to prove or disprove. But I mean, I think we've already proved that it exists.
Yeah,
and you know, it's whether or not people want to listen to us, you know, take us seriously. Yeah, you know, I can show a person all the evidence in the world, but until they experience it for themselves. You know, it's still, you'll still be skeptic about it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I love seeing the look on the face of a skeptic when we catch something and we can't explain it and they can't explain it. You know, the look on their face is just like, just mind-blowing.
That's a great feeling. Or when you... Go ahead.
Oh, I lost my train of thought.
When you have someone, like a newbie to investigating, and they hear an EVP for the first time, and you're like, oh shit, this stuff's real. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're paying us big bucks for listen to the EVP.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh man.
Yeah, I've been to Waverly before, and for as haunted as they say that place is, which I know it is, I really didn't catch a whole lot of evidence personally. But like I said earlier, you know, we're on their time when we're investigating.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I always compare it to like going fishing or whatever. You go, say you go fishing in a lake and you don't catch any fish. It doesn't mean the fish aren't in the lake. They're just not eating.
Right.
They're not biting at the time.
Yep.
You know? I mean, just because you go to a house and it's, you know, reportedly haunted, you know, getting to me doesn't mean the ghost moved out. It's just not.
They're not willing to communicate at that time, is what it is.
Mm-hmm. You know? Do you have a favorite piece of equipment that you use when you investigate?
Yep, it'd be myself.
So you use your more like your use your body and stuff.
Yep.
Your
feelings
senses.
I get, the senses and everything. To me, I mean, we got probably $7,000 worth of equipment, Ryan, but nothing's more accurate than your own body and the feelings you get. That's the most accurate piece of equipment I think there is your body.
I can believe that.
You know, but if I had to pick a piece of equipment, would probably be probably my spirit box or my K2 meter. You know, those two go with me on every hunt. I have both of them in my pocket. Those are my go-to when I go out.
I like those. I like the spirit box. I do enjoy using spirit box. I like the K2 meter too. It helps clarify some of the stuff, especially when you have like doing group investigations. You know, or if you can use the K2 meter to like answer questions as well. You know, I know a lot of people use flashlights and stuff to ask questions.
Right.
Unscrew the end of it and. I don't know.
Yeah, I've never done the flashlight experiment yet.
Yeah, the jury's still out for me. Some of them are compelling. I must say some of the sessions I've seen are pretty compelling. But I don't know. For me personally, I won't do it because I just don't. I don't. I'm not sure if I'm doing it right, so I just don't do it that way. I'm the only piece of my release is my phone. Use my recorder on my phone. That's all I need.
You know, I've had people ask me, you know, what's the best equipment you can buy out there? You know, I want to start investigating. And I tell them, your body and your cell phone. That's all you need to start is your body and your cell phone.
I downloaded a few apps the other night. I got a new phone, so I was doing like a paranormal shopping spree. Downloaded a few apps on my phone, and a few of them were worked pretty well. There's one called like Necrophonics or something, like $10. But I was in the woods and behind the cabin. I'm asking like, is how many people give me a number between 1 and 10? One person, one voice came back 2, another voice came back 8, and like. I asked, what's your name? A voice came back, said Michael. So, I mean, you know, it was pretty spot on with some of the questions.
Right.
No.
So, is that...
Because some of the apps are...
That app, is that more like a spirit box or is it more like an ovulus?
I'm more of a... I guess more of an ovulus because it can manipulate it so words come through. I don't know how it works on cell phones. Like, I can't explain it, like, this technology or the science behind it.
Right.
But, you know. It's all about trial and error, too.
Yeah, when we get off here tonight, Ryan, why don't you send me the name of that app? I want to take a look at it.
Okay, I'll do that. Yeah, there's also one called Ghost Detector. That's pretty good. I was in the cabin and I was talking about going into the brick house and the word rape came on the screen, and actually a rape took place in the brick house. So that's another one that I would definitely recommend especially for new beginning ghost hunters that don't have money to spend on a bunch of equipment, you know.
Yeah, I think with everything we got, I think we're done spending money for a while. Do you agree, Tiff?
$7,000 worth of equipment? I think, man, I wish I had that much. Like I said, you know, sounds like you have a lot.
Yeah, we got one big giant suitcase just jam-packed with our security cameras and all that, our night vision. We have another suitcase that's jam-packed. We have a backpack that's jam-packed, and we have 2 metal carrying cases that are jam-packed. Well, one metal case has our SLS camera in it. We keep that by itself.
I love the SLS camera.
Yeah. They are neater than hell.
That's fun, but I always feel like, you know, I'm always super-duper careful. Like, it's like I'm holding on to, like, you know, gold or something when I'm using it.
Right. Yeah. We also just recently got a REM pod. That thing's neater than hell. That REM pod.
Mhm. That's a good piece too, man. So do you have a paranormal bucket list of like places you want to investigate, like your top three?
The top three for me would probably be, they're probably different than Tiff, but mine would be Viscola Axe Murder House, Winchester Mansion, and probably Myrtle's Plantation.
Mine's not that different. Mine's Myrtle's Plantation and the Winchester Mansion. Those are really my main two.
Gotta have a third one.
The cabin on 360. Just saying, the cabin on 360.
There you go.
You know, I'll give you the friends and family discount.
Yeah, we're actually talking about coming that direction out there, and when?
May 16th.
May 16th, we're talking about going out to New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Ooh. Well, like 8 hours away or something. I don't know. What's going on in New Jersey?
New Jersey Parunity Conference.
Oh. I'm going to have to start going to some of these conferences, but I got to wait until my son gets a little bit older, I think. I'd like to start doing that again. We just got to figure out a good time when, you know, Angie can get off work and or can find a babysitter for the kid.
Yeah, so, we're kind of in the same boat, too. We got our little five-year-old, but I don't want to drag her to these things. She'd end up tearing the buildings down.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing with RJ too. It's like we went to one last year, but he was still pretty immobile. But now, man, he is into everything. It's just so hard to, you know, keep him calm, keep him entertained, I guess, for a long period of time. So.
Plus, you have to have someone with you.
Yeah, you got to have someone with you and everything, and yeah.
Mhm. Yeah. But, you know, like I said, it'll happen eventually. The ghosts aren't going
anywhere. Just make it easy, Ryan, and just win the lottery.
Exactly, yeah. Well, that's true. That's the easy thing to do. You know, just to win the lottery, just like that. That would be nice if that was the easy part. So we're almost done with the interview, if you can believe that. It's crazy. How fast time goes.
It's already been an hour?
Yeah, it's already been an hour. 9:27.
Holy hell.
I know, man. See, time flies when you're getting freaky.
Right.
I definitely want to thank you guys for coming on the show and talking with us. Angie is taking care of RJ now. And she says she thanks you for coming on as well.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
No problem. We definitely need to get you guys back on doing your show here soon. As soon as you get some more, you know, go get some more investigations down. You know, you can talk about your upcoming live investigation. That'd be a good topic to talk about.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, just let you know the followers know, listeners, you know that. If they go and join our Facebook group page, they will be able to watch the hunt live because we'll be going live on our page with it.
As much as we can.
I'll definitely do as much as I can to help you promote it on our end and hope you can get some more people to buy tickets.
Sweet. Hell yeah. More the merrier.
All right, brother. You guys take care. And enjoy. Hopefully, it'll warm up. It'll dry up for you.
Say bye-bye.
All righty, brother.
RJ back there saying bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So hopefully the weather will dry up and you get some nice Wisconsin weather for you.
Right. I hope so.
Yeah, tell them it's spring is here. So the sun needs to come out. All right, guys, I'll talk to you soon. Have a good one.
All right,
brother,
you
too. Thank you.
All right, good night.
Good night. Bye.
So, yeah. So, we're going to have Roseville Paranormal on the show. Roseville Paranormal on the show. Next week, next Tuesday night, starting at 9:30. We're back to our 9:30 time slot next week. So thank you again to Lost Souls in the Shadows Paranormal for coming on the show and talking with us. I definitely appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday night, starting off the new era of Tuesday, right after. Have a good one. Bye.